Today on The Journey.
When you realize that God is sovereign in everything, in your career, there's great freedom in that. Because if I'm the only one that makes it happen, mm-hmm. what happens when I don't make it happen? Mm-hmm. The beauty of living for Christ is the results are His.
God has made many American believers rich in this present world. Unfortunately, this present world often uses those riches to draw us away from the God who blessed us with them in the first place. So today, Ron Moore and men's minister Tunj Ilkin share ways to counter the world's attack and thereby truly enjoy the wealth God has given us. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms, from the book of Joshua, that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Strong and Courageous is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more about this inspiring resource later in the program. In our last time together, we learned from 1 Timothy chapter 6 that Paul identifies two types of people, those who want to get rich and those who are rich. We ended with an exhortation to be thankful to God in the midst of our riches. Now, Ron and Tunj pick up there with part three of their discussion, Under Attack, the Burden, on The Journey.
Well, welcome to a special edition of The Journey. I'm here with Tunj Ilkin, who is our pastor of men's ministry here at the Bible Chapel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Tunj, we're talking about men engaging in the battle. We're challenging men to engage in the battle. There's a battle going on.
Right.
And we have to acknowledge there's a battle.
Yeah.
We've got to engage in it. And we're looking at the different battlefields. We're focused right now on the world. And one of the things the world tells us is it's all about the stuff. Just get the stuff. Clothes to make them look better or feel better about themselves.
Right.
A larger home for impressing
right.
others around them. Cars. And again, it's a lie, but you slide into that nice leather and the smell of a new car, and there's something that says, oh, now this is cool. For the love of money, Paul says, is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many grief. So the love of money is a self-inflicted one. It's like taking a sword and plunging it into your soul. And Paul says, you pierce yourself with many different griefs. Hebrews 13:5 says this, keep your lives free from the love of money. Again, it's not money, it's the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The writer is saying there, hey, be content with God.
Yeah.
Start with Him. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's always going to give you what you need. The psalmist says, I've never seen a righteous man go hungry or his children begging for bread.
That's a great comfort, because it really helps put those things into perspective.
There's another group that Paul addresses here. And Tunj, I think this is a group that we kind of forget. God has blessed a lot of people with a lot of money. They didn't go after it in the wrong way. They are sold out for God, but he's blessed them with a lot of money.
Right.
And the people I've talked to in those situations, it's a burden, because they're wondering, am I using it enough? Can I have the wave runner and still honor God?
Yeah.
You know, am I giving enough to Him? I had a buddy, and I said, I talked to people with a lot of money, and, you know, I think money can be a burden. And he said, well, I never thought of it like that. But he said, now you say it. He said, I have found myself more and more meeting with someone regarding wills, or meeting with someone about my business, or meeting with someone about an investment. He said, I never thought of it as a burden, but he said, the more I think of it, the time it takes to deal with it. But God has given people wealth. And so Paul says, let's talk about that. The first thing Paul says is, be thankful. Look at verse 17. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in their wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope into God, who richly provides them with everything we need for our enjoyment. Mm-hmm. So Paul's saying it's not a killjoy. God gives you these things. You can enjoy them, but be thankful for what God has given you. Paul tells those who have money to stay humble. We've just read this. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but keep your hope in God. Remember, everything comes from the Lord. The Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 through 19 says this, "You may say to yourself, my power and strength and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth."
When I played football, there was a part of me that wanted to take credit for my accomplishments because I worked hard. I trained 3 hours every morning, then I'd go down to the Steelers facility, I'd train all day, and then I realized that that too was a gift. Mm-hmm. The work ethic was a gift. And I think a lot of times there are certain parts of what we have that mm-hmm. we might not be as eager to let go and say, oh yeah, that is of God.
Right.
And I think hard work is one of those things that at least I know that I can fall victim to because I want to say, hey, I worked hard. And a lot of times the culture will add to that. Well, you worked hard to play 14 years in the NFL. You worked hard to mm-hmm. accomplish A, B, C, or D. But in the end, that's also a gift of God.
And you look back, and I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but no one is as smart as I think they are. No one's as skilled as I think they are. And going to the sports analogy, you're born in Turkey.
Right.
God put something in your parents' heart to move over here. You would have never played football.
No, no.
Had you stayed in Turkey.
No, Turkish football, which I stunk at, which is soccer.
You're a big guy. Yeah. You didn't do anything. You could get bigger and stronger, but the DNA is there.
Not that much bigger and stronger.
That's a gift from God.
That's right. That's right.
You didn't get hurt. There were guys who worked harder. I mean, I know you worked harder.
Nobody worked harder than me, Ron.
I'm sorry to say that. I wanted just to clarify. There was one guy, Tunch, that worked a little harder than you did.
No, you're right. Yeah, right.
And you've said that often. As much as you play, small percentage of guys play 14 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
What's the average?
Like 3.1 years, the average career span. You know, I'm just very thankful. It is God's grace. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I would be put at a place. Here's the other thing. I came to a place where Chuck Knoll, the head coach, didn't care if you were big as an offensive lineman. He just cared if you could play.
Right time.
God's timing. That's right. I came to a place where there were great, not only coaches, but great players who were mentors. Mm-hmm. The Lord brought me onto himself because of guys like John Cole, Mike Webster, Craig Woofley, Ted Peterson, Donnie Shell, John Stallworth, guys that love Jesus. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is all a gift. I mean, I thank God every day that this is where he planted me. This is where he introduced himself to me. Mm-hmm. This is where he grew me. And this is where I still live. That's grace.
Talked to a guy just the other day, great guy. His son, tremendous high school athlete, could have played football in college, chose to play baseball in college, gets drafted. 7 years in the minor leagues, and he has some injuries in there, some challenging times. He's having a great year. His mom gets sick, passes away, and he hardly recovered that year.
Right.
He has an injury. Long story short, after 7 years, he gives it up.
Right.
And I said, how's he doing? And his dad said this. He realizes if it hadn't been for this, he would have gotten called up, and you need about 40, 50 at-bats in the major leagues to be able to get signed the next year. But at the end of the day, he said this, you know what? God is sovereign, and we trust in his sovereignty. So you can do all the what-ifs.
Right, absolutely.
But God is sovereign, and I love that. And admitting that God's sovereign, there's a humility that comes with that.
Right. Yeah, there is. And you acknowledge that he provides what you have, everything from the ability to the size to the opportunity. But I think what most people don't realize until they get there is when you realize that God is sovereign in everything, in your career, your athletic career, your academic career, your professional career, there's great freedom in that too. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm the only one that makes it happen, mm-hmm. what happens when I don't make it happen? Mm-hmm. If I'm the one that brings it, well, what happens when I don't bring it? And what happens when I lose? And what happens when my career is done? Is it my fault? And now I go through this beating myself up, coulda, shouldas, wouldas. The beauty of living for Christ in any area is that God just wants our best effort. When that's all said and done, the results are his.
Mm. Yeah, we have a mutual friend who says that he lived a lot of his early Christian life with the slogan, if it's to be, it's up to me. Then he realized, and if it's to be, it's up to God.
Yeah.
Because God is sovereign. So stay humble. If God's blessed you with things, stay humble. Stay dependent. Command those who are rich. And by the way, Paul says command. Don't suggest.
Yeah, that's right.
But command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything we need. So it's God who is providing us with the things we need. Now, again, that's tricky because think that if we can produce it, it's up to us, and we got an independent streak. I think it came from Adam and Eve.
Yeah, somebody like that. Yeah, someone who
messed up at the beginning.
You know, we do want credit. It is in us. It is our prideful nature. It is part of the flesh that we want credit. I want to be acknowledged for what I've done. I want to be acknowledged, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there's part of you, there's part of me, not you. Now, you're above all this
as a
senior pastor, me just as a measly men's pastor. But we are very competitive, and it's always a heart check. You know, people say it's a gut check. No, for me, it's a heart check. How is my heart in relationship? Whenever I have these I want my acknowledgement thoughts. It's like I catch it and I go, no, sorry, Lord, sorry. You know, it's like the quick forgiveness. Lord, sorry, I know that's terrible. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Because for me, it's a battle. I mean, I'm competitive. I hate to say this. Even as a men's pastor, I'm competitive. Mm-hmm. I want our guys to be doing great. And then I realize, wait a second, you knucklehead, you dope ya. Just be faithful. Just be available. Just be teachable.
So we just were on a retreat.
Right.
We had a little break, and some of the staff played basketball and football. And so you and I, we went on a hike.
Right, right.
And we probably hiked for a couple hours.
Yeah, 2 hours anyhow.
Hills.
Yeah.
So I was at staff meeting the next day. I said, how'd the football game go? And they said, oh, I'm still sore. And her husband said, Ron and Tunch, did they play football? And she said, no, they went on a nature hike. And I said, oh, man, that killed me.
We don't go on nature hikes. We want to hike.
I couldn't handle it. I said, wait a minute. That was not a nature hike.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
Jesus said,
go on a nature hike.
Go on a nature hike.
That's right. It's all right. Enjoy my creation. Yeah. It's okay.
Just for the record.
Yeah, just for the record.
That was a tough hike.
It was, yeah.
We
it was up
a,
and down.
We
yeah,
we
were breathing
hike.
Heavy.
We went on a good
that's
hike.
Right.
Jesus.
You're so competitive.
Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Stay dependent.
Yeah.
Tunch, not long ago, we were in Kenya, and we were in a place where literally— those kids and men and women were depending on God for their daily bread. That hit me hard when we were there.
Yeah, you know.
Because that's not what we do.
No.
It's not what I do.
No. I can honestly say, in my 56 years on this earth, I have never come home questioning, would there be food? Never. Even when times were hard when I was a kid, we always had food on the table. I always had a clean shirt and a clean pair of pants. We didn't have a lot, but the thought of missing a meal was never in the picture. And when we were down in Mathari and spending time with the kids from the church and from the school, all of our hearts broke. They had two meals a day, and they get them both there. Our good buddy Leo Wisniewski, who's been in ministry, and he's worked in the inner city of Chicago. And he used to do this after-school mentoring thing with kids. And when he first came to Chicago and he was working with these kids, he said to one of them, hey, do we need to call your parents or do we need to get you home for dinner? He goes, man, they ain't no dinner waiting for me at home.
Hmm.
And he said it just broke his heart. These kids that he was ministering to on the near west side of Chicago, they didn't have a dinner to go home to. That just reminds me, yes, to think that when the people pray, give us this day our daily bread, they mean it.
Johnson Wambua, the pastor in the Mathari slums that we partner with, remember him saying that two meals a day they give the kids are the only two meals they get.
Right.
And they close down the school for 1 week a year. And he tells them, school's closed down tomorrow. You're on your own for your food. And he said they really appreciate the food when they come back.
Yeah.
And man, that hit me because we need to be that dependent. For us, it's hard to be dependent when we know there's going to be food when we get home.
Right.
But God calls us to be dependent on Him. So I think for us, it's a mindset. It does come from God, and we're dependent on Him. God says to those who have wealth, thank God for it, enjoy God, and enjoy His blessings. I love what Paul puts in verse 17. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. God is not a killjoy. He gives us things for our enjoyment. We're not to worship money, but God gives it to us to enjoy, and He gives it to us to be generous and willing to share. Verse 18, command them to be rich in good deeds and be generous and willing to share. When we truly enjoy our blessings. Mm-hmm. It's because, back to Solomon, fear God. So we've got God first.
Right.
We're worshiping him, and he's allowing us to enjoy it. And sometimes, Sunshine, you know this, the greatest enjoyment is mm-hmm. not getting something for yourself, but it's giving
right.
to others. You've been involved for years with a mission, Light of Life Mission here right. in Pittsburgh. God's blessed you in a lot of different ways. What was the point in your life where he said, okay, Tunch, here's what I've given you now. Time to share it.
Yeah. I remember specifically we were out for dinner in the city one night, and there were a number of homeless people that came up asking for money. And I'll never forget one woman that came up. She was with her elderly father. And the way she asked, she said, sir, you got to help us. We're stuck here in Pittsburgh. We can't get out. We don't have any place to stay. We don't have money. And I remember giving her money. And I thought to myself, okay, so I see this problem. What can I do? And I find out about Light of Life. They've been ministering on the north side for 60 years. And I walked through the doors and I just saw the love of God. Mm-hmm. that the people had, those who worked there. And I saw an opportunity to be involved in ministering to the poor. Kind of the mantra down at Light of Life is minister onto the least of these. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they do down there. Those that are poor and they're broken and they're addicted, they come through those doors for breakfast and dinner 365 days a year. For those who need a place to stay, they have an emergency shelter. And then they have a program for people that want to get mm-hmm. their lives back together. And so I had the privilege and the blessing of spending time there, of serving on their board, just being a volunteer, and getting to know the people that have gone through the program. I think mm-hmm. one of the biggest blessings and joys for me, there's two of them, is getting to know the guys in the program, spending time in the chapel, just chatting with them. And I've had the privilege of speaking and doing devotions and Bible studies down there. And the other is they have quarterly graduations, guys mm-hmm. that have been through the program, and they get up there and they share their love for God and what God brought them from, what mm-hmm. God saved them from, what God delivered them from. And then you see them reconcile with their wives and their children, and it is powerful. So to say, wow, I can be part of that. Talk about a tremendous blessing. You walk away going, wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for letting me see that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for letting me partake in that.
You know, you said something that I want to focus on for just a second. There are those listening, and God has blessed them.
Right.
And they know it comes from him, and they are thankful, and they are staying humble, and they're staying dependent. And they are very generous, and they give to a lot of different ministries.
Right.
Talk about that next step they could take. Not just writing a check, but going and serving. And yeah. talk about the difference. All these ministries that individuals are giving to, they appreciate it. But the ownership, the depth of true emotion that comes not just from writing a check, but being involved
right.
in a ministry.
Look, I don't want to make it seem like I do anything special, because I really don't. I am just very, very thankful to be in these situations. But one of the things that I found with guys in the program, and when I say program, they're usually chemically addicted or mentally handicapped, and in many cases, both. Yeah. A lot of these guys, a lot of homeless people feel lost. They feel like they're invisible, because most people that see them on the street do not want to make eye contact because they're worried that people are going to ask them for money. And so these guys start to feel really invisible and mm-hmm. like they don't matter. The beauty of being down at a place like Light of Life, each one of these guys has a story. They're real lives. And some of the stories are pretty remarkable. And so I think one of the greatest blessings for me has been to really get to know guys, because one of the things that they don't have is when you're in a program, you're dealing with counselors and you're dealing with other recovering addicts. So when you have an opportunity as someone that's in the program or someone that's coming for a meal to engage with someone who is out there in what they would consider the real world, and to get into a relationship with a person who is not perfect but is living what we would say is a normal, normal life. But it doesn't take you too long to realize that there, by the grace of God, goes me. Because we're all broken. It's just some of our brokenness is much more obvious. Mm-hmm. And so when you get into these circumstances, when you get into these relationships with these guys, and then you say, oh, Lord, thank you. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so, so thankful. And then when you build these friendships with guys or mm-hmm. women. There's a women's program at the Light of Life as well. When you build relationships, you really get to know, you know, there's about a half a dozen guys at the mission that I've been friends with for a long time mm-hmm. that have gone through the program are now either counselors or in security mm-hmm. or in the culinaries that I've gotten to be friends with. And I see them, and we're close friends, and having prayed for them and having them have prayed for me and just getting in these friendships. And when you see the face of homelessness today, you'll realize that it isn't very scary. It is actually very fulfilling to be part. And then you go to the graduation and you see a man who's been addicted since he was in his early 20s. And you look at his 17 or 18 year old daughter who was weeping, hearing him share his testimony. And then you ask that girl, boy, this is some moment. She goes, I have been praying for my dad since I can remember. Mm. And to see him come to Christ and to see him cast off the shackles of addiction. She said, there has not been a greater moment in my life. So you see that mm-hmm. and you just go, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting me see that.
Wherever you're listening, mm-hmm. there's a ministry, a mission. There's an opportunity for you not only to give financially if God has blessed you, but also to give of your time and your energy. And as Tunch is saying, I get to know the people going through some of these challenging times. And man, it's easy to make a judgment when you don't know a person.
Right.
But when you hear their story, as you said, but for the grace of God, there go I. That could have easily been me as this guy. But for God's grace, for his purposes, he put me in this. And now I have the opportunity to give back and to share. One last thing here, Tunch, in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Let me just read this starting in verse 17. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. And then check this out, verse 19. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. And I love this, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Oh, man, that's good.
Amen.
That's good. Lasting enjoyment comes when you invest in eternal things.
Lord, just always cause me to think that way because it is truth. And when you experience it, you see it, you touch it, you say, yeah, Lord, this is it. This is what I should be about. But that other temptation is always just off stage going, but you know what? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great word for us.
Life that is truly life, taking hold of life. That is true life. Father, that's our prayer for every person listening, that you would put in their hearts the realization that you are the one who gives generously to every one of us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us not to be those who drown in ruin and destruction because of trying to become wealthy. I pray, Father, that you would help us all to have a lasting enjoyment that comes when we invest in eternal things, and help us to be those who take hold, who grasp life that is truly life. That's our prayer.
Yes.
In Christ's name, amen.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a look at our next time together. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assurance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story in his encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. In its reflections, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. A digital copy of Strong and Courageous is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Tunch for a preview of our next broadcast.
So this argument breaks out. Jesus knows their thoughts, and he takes a little child, a person of no status, and he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you, he is the greatest.
I often wonder when Jesus would say something that is that penetrating, would you stop and ponder the words that were just said to you, or would you just immediately be convicted and go, oh, I'm such a dope? Because when I feel the inner turmoil and I hear that conversation in my own mind about me, I see that. I get it. I'm so sorry. You know, or do they talk amongst themselves? Man, what'd you think about what Jesus said?
Really?
You know, I mean, I often wonder, you know, what was going through their minds.
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a digital download of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Strong and Courageous, is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.